Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, 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 Father, of all glory and praise. You are worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you release your Holy Spirit afresh into every one of our lives this morning. Thank you that your mercy is on you this morning, day after day. We thank you, Father, for the freshness there is in you, in your word, and by your spirit today. Father, we thank you that you never grow tired or weary. But Father, I thank you that you just breathe into every one of us afresh this morning, with your breath, with your life. Thank you as we exalt you, life flows in us. When we praise you, energy and life is released in us. Father, we thank you for a day to live in you, to know you, a day to bless one another, to encourage those around us, a day to live in your life, a day to release your life. Thank you, Father, what you're going to release today into many people that don't know you. Thank you, it's going to be a touch point from heaven to earth for people today. That some that don't know you are going to hear from you today. Maybe for the first time ever, the reality of who you are is going to flow over their lives. Maybe for others that have heard of you before but never really responded, something's going to ignite in their heart today. Father, for those that have known you and walked away from you, thank you that you have some God appointments today for those people that feel like they've messed up and it's gone too far and you wouldn't accept them or they couldn't be forgiven again. Father, we thank you that there's restoration for people today. Father, we thank you. We don't know who's out there, but you do. And Father, we thank you as we just live and be who you've called us to be. As we go out and sing and declare who you are today and rejoice in you and go out to just be a blessing into people's lives. You're going to draw people at those moments into those places where we are. Because you want people to find life in you today. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Just thank you for those divine appointments today. Thank you for those God moments today that people are going to walk into. They're going to walk into today. God encounters. Some people are going to get healed today. Just go for it today when you're out there. People are going to be healed today. Physical illnesses, things going on in their lives. Weights lifted off of their life. Burdens lifted off today. Sicknesses being removed from people's bodies today. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you that you're at work. We thank you for what you're doing. We exalt your mighty, awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him that you're a giver of life. Thank him that you have a river of life at work in you, an endless supply of who he is, an endless flow of his life, his power, his goodness. And you're there to be a connection point, a conduit of his life and his power, his goodness today. Thank you, Father, no matter how we're feeling, even though we're a little bit tired, we thank you that your life flows, Father, just as strong as it always does, because your life is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just thank him for what he's been doing in your life over these last 9 or 10 weeks. Thank him that he's transformed you. Just thank him for being a different person than you were a few weeks ago. Thank you, Jesus. As a staff, we're thanking God that he's transformed your life over these last few weeks. In our own lives as staff, thank you for what you're doing, Father. Thank you for how you're working and moving in my life. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you that there's so much more, and I'm looking forward to more of what you want to do, how you want to reveal who you are. Praise your name, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. Just want to flow on a little bit from Sunday, just share for a few minutes. Can you just turn it down a bit? Is that okay? Thanks. So if you want to grab your Bible and turn to Matthew 13, I'm just going to pick up on a few things, not regurgitate the message, but how many times do we need to hear a message
before it really sits in our lives and becomes part of who we are. And I think God's going to keep reminding us of some things over the next few weeks so that what he's saying really lands in our lives. But how things land in your life in terms of what God is doing is determined by how you and I personally take responsibility for what God is saying and then appropriating that, taking responsibility for that to land it in our own lives. Do you want to be a self-feeder or do you want to be a spoon-fed Christian? What kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be a self-feeder? And when I say self, I don't mean soulish self. I mean taking personal responsibility. Do you want to be a self-feeder or do you want to be a spoon-fed Christian? When God looks at the church, what does he see? When he looks at the church, what does he want? Well, he obviously wants a vibrant, healthy, strong church. Is it all right if you just turn the volume down? Is that okay? That would probably help a bit. Just turn the volume down. Great, thanks. And he wants a strong, vibrant, healthy church, okay? When we are feeding on him, feeding on the word, then the strength, the vibrancy, the life of who he is flows. Then our spiritual muscles, our spiritual health, our spiritual body is then fed in the way that it needs to so that it has the energy, the health, the muscle, the strength, the vibrancy that it needs to have. When we don't feed on the word, then spiritually we become anemic. We become weak. When there isn't that right flow of his word and his life in our lives, then there's a spiritual weakness. And in one sense, I think sometimes, God can see the church. I mean, he obviously sees it perfect and all of that kind of who we are in Christ. But he also sees the reality of how we're doing spiritually in our lives. And God wants the church not to be somebody who looks like they've got some eating disorder, where you can see the bones coming through the skin. There's no fat whatsoever on the body, and there's just a weakness, an anemic. There's a lack of different, what would you call iron in your body? What would you call that? Nutrients. There's a lack of nutrients in the body, and God doesn't want a body like that because he knows when the enemy does certain things or the circumstances of life and things just go on, come at us, then we'll have nothing to stand on. There'll be no strength. And so God wants a strong, vibrant church that's moving in the things of God. So let's have a look at Matthew 13. I want to just go through a few things in that parable of the sower again. And just to remind us of this picture of an oak tree and the strength that we see on the outside physically of a tree growing, standing tall, towering above us with branches reaching out, many leaves, acorns, on this tree. We see the outward, but we know that the strength and the life of that tree and the longevity of that tree is determined by what's going on underground, what's going on in the root system. And when you look at the root system goes deep, but it also goes wide. And normally what you see on the outside is the same shape underneath. If anything, the roots will go a bit deeper and wider, certainly wider than the width of the tree that is out there. So let's just have a look and read a couple of things in this parable. We know the parable well. We've probably read it many times, certainly in this setting. And how Jesus talks about four types of heart. So we're not going to read through the whole thing. We're going to look at the second half from verse 18 onwards when he explains what the parable means. So then Jesus says, listen, verse 18, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The word there for understand, where it says he does not understand it, the word understand there means union. It means together with, to be at one with. So it's interesting when you look at some of the meanings of words, it helps you to understand what Jesus is actually saying. So Jesus is not saying he does not understand it with his mind. What he's saying here is he does not understand it. There's no union with the word. When the guy who has a hard heart, he's not going to receive the word. There's no union with it. He's not together with the word. He's not at one with the word. So if there's no union, if there's no connection, then we can understand then how the enemy snatches away that seed going into his heart. And that's why Jesus said, this seed sown is the one that is sown along the path. There's no union, there's no connection, there's no relationship. There's nothing going on in that person's life that has enabled that person to receive the word and that word to take root, because there's no union, no connection. Okay. Then it says, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So Jesus is speaking there about somebody responding with joy, excitement. It's an emotional response. And when you have an emotional response to something, it's exciting, but it's an emotional level. And so because, again, there's no root there to draw from, when it says here in the word, when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, then there's no root to hold you fast and to hold you in the place or the position that you need to be at that moment. So when the opposition and the challenge comes, what happens is there's no root. And so the excitement of the moment has gone and the reality of the challenge of the circumstances arrives and there's no root. There's no anchor point that holds you, even though you can sway around a little bit, even though the circumstances and the challenges of that moment, or even it says here, the persecution or whatever it might be, because there's no anchor point that's kind of trying to pull you and hold you there, there's nothing in your drift. And because the feeling of how it was when I heard the word and was excited and I was in that meeting and, oh, it was amazing. Because that excitement's gone and there's no anchor point, no root, the person drifts off. Third one, it says here, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. That one Jesus is really describing more the kind of soulish response. So there's mixture in somebody's life here. They have the word, they're hearing the word, but they're just the stuff of life, things they're into, things they give themselves to. Instead of giving themselves to the things of the spirit or the word, they give themselves more to things they want to do and they let other things have a stronger effect on their heart and on their life than the word does. So you'd say it's a soulish kind of Christian, a soulish kind of person. Do you understand that? There's mixture going on. And so therefore, the things of life and the interests and the things people say, they choke spiritually what's going on because people give themselves more to soulish stuff than the things of the spirit. So there's no strength there to resist just temptation and just stuff of life. And then the fourth one, Jesus says here, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. Interesting, the word understand comes in there. It means the same thing, union. So what he's saying here, the man with the good heart, fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. So that means that man has union with the word. He's together with that word. Also, the word understand there means to work with it. So Jesus is saying here the one who falls on good soil, the reason why the word in that particular person has taken root is because that person, it's not just that they have a good heart. It's not that there are four types of people and some have a hard heart, some have a stony, some have a thorny, and some have a good heart. Nobody has a good heart. Do we all agree on that one? Nobody has a good heart. Jesus says there's only one person good, and that's himself. Now, when God comes to live in us, we receive a new heart. The old heart is taken away. We have a new heart. So therefore, God puts his own heart in us in and of itself. But what Jesus is saying here is the reason why for some people, when the seed comes, when the word comes and it goes into their hearts, it takes root and begins to produce fruit, is because that person is already working with the word, is at union with the word, is together with the word. And therefore, as he's working with the word, he then produces a harvest in his life. So you get somebody who's not saved. Maybe they're really hard, very resistant. They're not interested. So as we pray for them and as we share with them, the word works in their heart by the Holy Spirit and moves them from hard to stony to thorny to ready. So that the word goes in, takes root, and they get properly born again. But then we continue on, and this is where we take responsibility in our own lives for working with the word in our lives. So one of the things that we mentioned yesterday, and I spoke about on Sunday, was I looked at, you know, on the internet at root systems and all of that, and what goes on and how do they work. And there was a little phrase that was written in one of these articles that says this determines how a root grows and how deep it can go, or whether it goes that way or whether it goes this way, whether it goes, you know, shallow and across or whether it goes deep. And this phrase was the soil compaction determines the root penetration. Soil compaction determines root penetration. So the depth the roots can go is determined by the soil and what is going on underground and how compact that soil is. So if you have very, very hard ground, very, very compact soil, it's going to be a lot more difficult for the roots to go deeper, right? Because it's just hard. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. When the ground of people's hearts is so hard, it's very difficult for the seed of his word to go anywhere in their lives. But when the good soil is there, that means that the soil is kind of loose. And any root needs water, oxygen and soil, okay, for good soil, for it to actually go deeper. And for us, the water is the word, oxygen is the Holy Spirit, and the soil is our hearts. And so if the soil is kind of loosened and it's getting the right oxygen, the right water, then the roots can go deeper. Now, roots are constantly going deeper. That's their radar. That's their kind of DNA, to go deep. If they can't go deep, they start going wide. But all of the time they're going wide, they're looking to go deeper. So they're constantly looking for soil that they can push through to go deeper. They're always looking for those nutrients, that fresh soil. If it means the ground's too hard, then the root says, I'm going to go sideways to get whatever I need. But while I'm going sideways, I'm always looking to go deeper. Because in the DNA of a root, apparently, is to go deeper. It's not just to go wider in that sense. Now, roots, I'm not saying roots have got brains and they think, but they obviously, you know, work somehow. Roots go deeper and they go wider. They work together as a root system in a tree, so that because they know one root just going straight down, when the wind blows, the tree is going to go over. So the roots work together. And in our lives, the DNA that is inside of you that God has put in there is to go deeper. I want to go deeper with God. I want to push through to the fresh soil of who he is. And that's where this question, do you want to be a self-feeder or do you want to be a spoon-fed Christian? This is where it comes into play. If we are spoon-fed Christians, you know, we rock up on a Sunday and we just listen to a message and hopefully that's going to do it for us. And then we live the rest of the week hoping that that one word we heard on Sunday is going to give us enough life and strength and nutrients that we're going to need for the rest of the week. Then there's no anchor point in our life. We're hoping that that one word will somehow anchor us or locate us. But if we live like that, we become anemic. If we even just listen to many preachers, but never take personal responsibility to develop that root system in our own lives, then we'll still stay at a point when challenges come, we'll still blow around and even fall over because we haven't developed and cultivated that root system in our own life. Here's an example, a story that I read the other day was about being a self-feeder. This guy that I was reading about, he said he went to a guitar lesson and it was a class of people and there was kind of tuition going on and somebody kept putting their hand up, you know, because they kept getting left behind in the class. And the teacher, you know, at one point stopped and came over and kind of helped him and what do you need and this, that and the other. And then he went back and so he was kind of trying to learn the guitar. But it was a group kind of setting and he kept getting left behind and he didn't really know what to do and everything. And there wasn't time to develop him personally. So after the lesson, the teacher came over and said, look, why don't we spend some time one-on-one together so that you can get some personal tuition and get what you actually need to enable you to really become the guitarist that you want to be. And so what the tutor did is they started to meet one-on-one, and this tutor, who was obviously an expert, who's a brilliant player, then one-on-one began to train and teach and mentor this guy in playing guitar. And in a short period of time, the guy really got good at guitar and then started to play and do all this, that and the other. And great analogy, because we can either live, or Christians can live in a way where we do the group thing. You know, we go to church on Sunday or we even come to a Bible school. But we do the group thing, but we never move beyond that. And what God wants to do is say, I want to personally mentor you. It's like God saying, I want to do a one-on-one with you and I want to get you just on my own with you and I want to show you who I really am, what I'm really like. Because we can know God in a certain way in a class, in a group, on a Sunday morning, or in a conference, or at faith camp, or wherever it is. We can know God in that kind of setting, but God's saying, I want to know you one-on-one. I want you to know me one-on-one. I want to get you on your own, and I want to show you who I am. I want to show you the best way to live life. I want to show you the best way to walk with me. I want to show you things about myself that you'll never discover by somebody else telling you about their own experiences of how they've discovered who I am. Because you only hear those stories from somebody who's been on their own with me because they've allowed me to tutor them and show them who they are. So it's like, I don't know about you, but I want to do the one-on-one thing with God, eh? That secret place where nobody sees. But more than that, I want to know his voice. I want to know what he sounds like. I want to know his heart. How many of you know that you become like the people that you spend time with? You know, when people have been married for a long time, some people say, wow, you know, it's like you're just one person. And you need to get a little bit worried when they say, you even look like each other. So you need to get a little bit afraid when, you know, do I really look like my wife? You know, or does my wife look like me? Wow, okay. You know, that other one when, you know, you see people with their dogs. You know, you go dog walking and then you hear this comment like, man, that dog looks just like its owner. And it's like, well, you don't want to go and say that to that lady who's walking a bulldog. You know, your dog looks just like you. You know, you don't want to go there in that kind of thing. But people say comments like that, right? Just go with me this morning. Even if I'm on my own planet, at least just look interested. Even if you're thinking, where's he going? Just go, yeah, brilliant. Great. We become like those that we spend time with. The people you spend time with influence you the most. And who do we want to influence us the most? But often that influence comes without even realizing it's going on. It's the subtleties of spending time with people that you then, you know, my wife knows how I think. And if you asked her a question of what would Clive say about this or in that situation, she could probably tell you. And how would he react in that scenario? What would he say if this happened? If he had to sort that out, what do you think he would do? She would pretty much know why, because she knows me. And it's not just because she sat down with me and asked me loads of questions. It's because she's walked with me and I've walked with her for 28 years. And nearly 29. And although we've talked a lot over those 28, 29 years, it's just by being together, she's seen me. She just picks up, you know, if I look in a certain way, she knows that's, I know exactly what's going on behind those two eyes as he's, you know, or whatever, because she knows me. If we're in a crowded room and she calls my name, how she calls my name, I'll know exactly what she wants. Just because I know her. You might shout across a room at me, okay, to call my name, to get my attention, and I might hear my name, and it's like, oh, who's that shouting, and what do they want? But if my wife calls my name across a room, a crowded room, just by hearing her voice, I know, oh, she just wants my attention, she wants to go home. Or there's something a bit more important, actually, and because of the way she will call it, I know roughly, and I'm like, so if it's, she just wants my attention because she wants to go home, I'll be like, all right, yeah, okay, love, yep, be there in a minute, yep, yep. You know, and is that all right to do that? It won't be, all right, love, yes, yes, I'll be there. I'll be like, yep, okay, got it, let me finish the conversation, see you in a minute, I'll be there. If it's slightly different and I look and I'm like, man, I've got to go now, sorry, see ya, because of what's going on. And what God wants for us is that we don't just hear his voice and know what he's saying, but we pick up the resonance that is in his heart. Because we're walking with him, because the roots of our relationship are going deeper, there's resonance going on in the ground of our life. So when God is speaking, we don't just hear what he's saying, but we're picking up the tone that he's speaking in. We're picking up the nuance that is in his heart in relation to what he's saying and how he's even saying it. So when we journal with God, when we're spending time, when we're writing things down, it's not just knowing what God is saying. It's hearing the very heart and the essence of how he's communicating it. Why is that really important? Because God wants every one of us to be a voice, to be his voice, his heart. And when you've heard something in a certain way, it's not that you just heard words, but you've heard somebody's heart. When you've heard somebody's heart, how you then communicate what that person has said is in a completely different way, isn't it? When you've heard somebody's heart. If you just look at some words on a piece of paper, you can read those in different ways. You could read it in quite a formal way. You could read it in quite a strong way. You could read it in quite a sensitive way. How you read some words on a page will communicate to people the heart and the tone of how you want to say it. And so when we're in that secret place, when we're in that hidden place where our roots are going deeper, God wants to resonate his heart. He doesn't just want us to hear what he's saying so that we can say, well, I've heard the Lord today. Oh, that was good. That was, yeah, great. I know what he's saying to me. It's that resonance, it's that tone that we want to go with him. But also, linked with that, it's our response. How many of you know the story with David and his mighty men when he just spoke out one day? I've actually put it in my iPad here. It says, he just said one day, he wasn't talking to anybody at this moment. He wasn't speaking to his mighty men because he wanted them to do something. He was, if we can use it, he was just musing. He was just, you know, just thinking out loud. And he said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. Now, he didn't get his mighty men and say, lads, I know the well's behind enemy lines, but I'd love a bit of that water from that well, because it's just, you know. And they're like, yep, you know, okay, well, do you really want to go? He just thought out loud. He didn't know, but his three mighty men went through the enemy lines, went to the well, got him some water, brought it back, and presented it to him. And he was blown away, completely blown away. And he couldn't drink the water because he said, I'm not worthy to drink this water. You guys have just risked your lives to bring me this drink. The only one who is worthy is God. And so he poured it out as an offering to the Lord, you know, in worship to the Lord. These guys, these mighty men, they were so, if we can use, the, you know, we've used the word understand. They were so in union, so at one with David, that when he just thought out loud, oh, I wouldn't mind a drink of that. Yeah, God, you know. Yeah, have you ever stood there? You ever stood somewhere and you go, God, I've just, oh, can you imagine? You know, I don't like Coke, but, you know, big glass. How many of you drink Coke or whatever you like drinking, right? Big glass full of ice cubes. It's a stinking hot day and you think, oh, I could just down a whatever, a water or a Coke or, yeah, you know that. You just want to drink, right? That's what he was doing on that day. And that was it. As far as they were concerned, it was like he commanded them to go and do it. Imagine living and walking with God in that way, where he doesn't even have to tell you what to do. But you're in tune with him, where you just pick up the musings of God's heart, if we can put it that way. You just pick up the thoughts that are going on in his heart. And because you're picking up the thoughts of his heart, and he doesn't have throwaway comments, obviously, God, he, you know, everything he speaks is for a purpose. But just imagine that, the resonance of God's heart, and you're in tune, that he doesn't have to go, oi, for the 15th time to get our attention. Do you know what I mean? But just because we're picking up the resonance of his heart, you know, man, this is what God wants. I've got to go and do it. This is what's on his heart. I've just got to go and do it, you know. How many of you want to walk with God like that? That's his heart. That's how he wants us to be. And that's how he works by Spirit in us. Just finally, before we pray, you become like the people that you spend time with. And when we spend time with the Lord, we become like him. Now, the challenge, or one of the challenges in our culture in the 21st century, is everything's moving so fast and so quickly. Everybody wants to be successful overnight. Everybody wants to put as least amount of effort into something and get a massive return. And so part of the challenge in our culture that we live in these days is this boom and bust kind of mentality of, you know, I'll do as little as I can to get the most. I want to be famous. I want to be successful. I want to be this, I want to be that. But what's the fastest way to get there? What's the least amount of effort I need to put in to get there? And in some ways, there's an element where we've lost the understanding of what you sow, you reap. What you put in, you're going to get out. And we're not talking about self-motivated effort here, in terms of, well, I've just got to do more then for God to reward me more. I'm not talking about that. But often the growth in our life with God is day by day, day by day, day by day. And yes, we have encounters with God, and he wants us to encounter him. But it's those day by day, moment by moment, it's that moment by moment walk with God that actually enables us to grow, to stand, to become fruitful, to have wisdom, patience. The nature or the character of who God is begins to flow out of our lives in a fresh way. And sometimes we're looking for massive changes in a moment. Yet God, the Bible says, he changes us from one degree of glory to the next. It's a walk. And Peter and John going to pray that day on their way to the temple to pray. The beggar's there. He says, oh, I need some money. Peter and John say, we haven't got any money, but what we do have, we give you. Rise up and walk. They then get arrested, or they get taken before the religious leaders. They get questioned and everything. And because of their response that they come out with, they say to these guys, they say to Peter and John, well, look, we can see that you're uneducated. We can see that you've not necessarily learned all this stuff, but what we do know is you've been with Jesus. And what they said was the religious people, they took note that these people had been with Jesus. Why do they say that? Because the things they came out with were the same things that Jesus did. The thing that they'd just done, healing the crippled beggar, was the same thing that Jesus did. When the situation arose and the beggar said, I need some money, they did what Jesus did. It was kind of built into them. They didn't kind of think, well, okay, James, Peter and John. Peter didn't say to John, well, what do you reckon, mate? I haven't got my Barclay card on me, so we can't, I haven't got my cash point card, so I can't go down there, get some money out. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Have we heard the Lord? Should we pray for this guy or not? And they don't stand there and start praying in tongues and asking the Holy Spirit, okay, is it the right time or not? Shall we, shan't we? Shall we, shan't we? And all that kind of stuff, They say, look, we haven't got what you're asking for, but there's something else going on in us that you can have. So in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it was like their nature, the nature that was at work in them, was exactly the same as the nature of Christ in them. Why? Because they'd been with him. What came out of their mouth was the same as Jesus. How they acted was like Jesus. And it's that simple, just walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Not looking for an explosion at any given moment. I'm waiting for the next encounter for the Lord. I'm with God. I'm waiting for that moment where I suddenly feel like the spiritual person that I think I should be. Anybody ever think that? But we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. If you're at peace with God, at peace with yourself, just hear me in the right way here. You won't be looking for another encounter. But you'll have them. You'll have them. If you're at peace with God and at peace with yourself, right, there's an ease that is going on inside you. You can call it rest. There's rest going on inside you. That's the easiest place and time to encounter God, when you're in that place. But you live in a place of rest or ease by just daily cultivating time with him. See yourself as an oak tree, because that's how God sees it, an oak of righteousness. And just see, there's the roots of my relationship with God. I want to cultivate them. Like we said the other day, that tree in America in that national park that fell over, massive redwood tree that had been there for a few hundred years, fell over one day because of the footfall. Everybody walking around the tree had ultimately killed all the roots, so the root system had died. So there was no stability, no anchor for that tree, and it just fell over, even though there was no storm or wind. And it's like we just need to put a ring fence around our relationship with God. Ring fence time with God. It's easy, isn't it, for us to say, oh, it's busy, I don't know where to fit it in. But you begin to ring fence time. You begin to soak in the word and read the word and just journal with God. What you'll find is a desire will begin to grow in here, down here. A desire that's not an emotion. It's like an engine room that's just in there. And what's the language of that desire is, I want God. I want to know him. I want to know him. And you just, and then you don't think about my time with the Lord. I'm supposed to have it or I should have it. What I want to be with him. Because a desire has changed your whole perception. It's now the desire that's living in you. It's like you know, and therefore you make time. We all make time for the things we want to do, don't we? But often we discipline ourselves for something to become a desire. And as we discipline ourselves and just get into God in a fresh way, we're not looking for an encounter. Because if you're looking for an encounter, your time with God and that will be based on, I'm waiting for that moment. Have I had that moment yet? And if I haven't had that moment yet, oh, nothing's happened. And it's not about something happening. It's not about a moment. It's about relationship. It's about just being with him, reading his word, letting him speak to you, writing stuff down, being in his presence, picking up the resonant of it, of his heart, just allowing the soil of your own heart to be tilled over, because that's what's going on. And you're keeping your heart tilled over. If there are any thorns there, he'll show you what they are. If there's a stony thing there, he'll show you. But we're not going looking for those things. Just by reading his word and him speaking, you'll read it and go, you'll get challenged, you'll get encouraged, you'll get whatever, convicted. Sometimes just because you're reading the word, and he'll show you. But he does it in a way that never condemns you, never puts you down, never makes you feel bad. Sometimes conviction, when God wants to do something in a certain way, sometimes his conviction makes you aware of your need for God and how human we are at times. But God will only do that for a reason, because he wants to reveal something of himself to you or to me to enable us to know him in a deeper way. But he'll never do anything in our lives that condemns us, puts us down, or makes us feel bad and leaves us there. Do you know what I mean? Because he wants to reveal more of who he is. Why? Because ultimately he wants to reveal more of who he is out there in people's lives. Let's just pray, shall we? Do you want to jump to your feet? Let's fill the middle of the room a bit. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes for a moment. There's three things. The water of his word, the oxygen, the breath of the Holy Spirit, and our lives, our hearts. And to have a healthy heart, we need the water, the word, and we need the oxygen, the breath, the Holy Spirit. That's how you keep the soil of your heart aerated. How you keep the soil of your heart loose, in the sense that it is easy then to go deeper with him. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I often ask this when God speaks to me about things. I say, Holy Spirit, would you take me on a journey then? Take me on a journey in relation to what you're saying. Lead me, take me on a journey to know you in a deeper way, to understand what you're saying, to walk with you in that. Take me on a journey. So I'm, because God will never invade. He always works in our life by invitation. Now, he'll speak to you. And when he speaks to you, it's because he wants to reveal something about himself. He wants to show you something about you in relation to him. He might want to speak to you about whatever. But God will speak to you, but he'll never invade or violate your will. But he speaks to you, showing you something about himself, what he wants to do. But then he waits for an invitation from us to say, Father, would you take me on that journey with you then? Would you reveal more of who you are in that way? Show me more of who you are. Because he longs to reveal more and more and more so that we live in the fullest way possible, knowing him, who he is, how amazing he is, how wonderful he is. So maybe just invite him. Holy Spirit, would you just take me on a fresh journey in these coming days, these next few weeks, going into 2016. Holy Spirit, would you just take me on the journey that you want to take me on? Would you speak to me in the way you want to speak? Reveal who the Father is in a way that only you can reveal him to me. I want to be somebody who doesn't just hear your voice, but hears the tone in which you say it. Picks up the resonance that is in your heart, the tremors that are going on in the spirit and what you're saying and how you're saying it. I want to pick up the very tone and the feel of what you're saying and what you're thinking, what is going on in the depths of who you are. I want to be so sensitive that I'm like, you know, the thing that resonates when there's sound, it vibrates and resonates to even the whisper of God. Do you find my heart resonating and moving and vibrating in response to the sound of your voice, the tone of your voice? Father, would you take me on that journey so that the roots of my relationship can go deeper? Would you speak to me through your word? I thank you as I read your word and you speak to me. I thank you for a fresh hunger and desire that's going to grow within me, like the seeds of your kingdom growing up inside of me. I thank you that as you take me on this journey, the seeds of your word, the life of who you are, is going to grip my heart and my life in a fresh way, in a new way, stronger way, more passionate way. Father, maybe just while you're standing there, if there's any way in which you see your relationship with God as something formal, or how'd you put it? Just where, I don't want to use the word religious necessarily, but there's something in you that holds back sometimes. Just tell the Lord, God, whatever filters there are, Father, would you show me what they are and would you remove them? So that I don't just see, I don't compartmentalize my life with you in any way whatsoever. But I really would walk with you moment by moment. I'd be so aware of you in me. And with me and me with you. So aware of you, the tangible closeness, union with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God wants us to be his voice. He wants us to be his hands. He wants us to be his heart expressed towards other people. What in any of our lives we're consumed with or filled with is what we then speak about or what we voice. The things that we hold dear to or mean a lot, we act upon, we put our hands to. Whatever we're passionate about, we have a heart for is expressed in the way that we are. And God is not saying this morning that we don't have a heart for Him, we're not, you know, all of that stuff. But what He's doing is inviting each one of us to know Him more. He's inviting each one of us to go deeper. He's inviting each one of us saying, hey, there's so much more of me to discover. There's so much more that I want to show you about who I am. That literally the Bible becomes the living word in your life, in our lives. It literally is like reading something living in our hands. When you pick your Bible up, it's not just, oh, what do I read and what shall I do today? And I've never read that one before, and it's just printing on a piece of paper. But actually it's like, God, you're in here. This thing, when I pick it up, it's alive. It's like alive in my hands. And it's like, God, you know, when I read it, you jump off the page and you speak to me. It's like, that's how God wants His word to be in our lives. That it's like, God, what do you want to show me about who you are today? How do you want to reveal? How do you want to change me? What do you want to do in me today? I want to work with you like the good heart with the soul. I want to work with you today. Holy Spirit, I'm looking forward to just being in your word tomorrow morning when I get up. Father, I'm just looking forward to hearing the resonance on your heart. I'm looking forward to journal with you. I'm looking forward just to hear what you're saying. I'm looking forward just to be with you today. But I'm also not just looking forward to that moment, but I'm enjoying being with you right now. I'm enjoying walking with you, hearing your heart. Father, I thank you that you would just reveal more and more of who you are into our lives. That we'd be taken aback by you. That at times we'd be just breathless with you, just blown away at what you say, how you work and move in our lives. Father, we praise your name. Just thank him. Just thank him for just how wonderful he is in your life, how good he is in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that in these coming days, you move us. Where there is any hardness, you'll break that down. Where it's stony, you'll chuck the stones out. Where it's thorny, that we dealt with, so that we really do live with these good hearts, nutrient, you know, just hearts that are the soil that is tilled and available and that you can speak into, and it takes root and it begins to grow and becomes fruitful. Father, thank you. That's how you see us. That's what you're speaking over our life. You're speaking fruitfulness and bearing fruit and fruit that's going to remain. You're speaking 30, 60, 100 fold over our lives. You're speaking increase, because that's what you spoke right at the beginning in Genesis 1. You blessed them. And then you said, increase, be fruitful, fill the earth. Right from the beginning, you said, increase, fill the earth. Because we live from that place of blessing. So, Father, I thank you that we are blessed. Just thank him that you're blessed this morning. Thank him that you're blessed. Father, thank you that I am blessed because I'm in you. And I thank you that I live in that blessing today. And I can live and move in that blessing today. And because I'm blessed, I thank you for increase today. Thank you for fruitfulness today. Thank you that other people's lives are going to be filled today because of who you are and what you're doing in me and in us together as a people. Father, we praise your mighty name. Amen. 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 Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.